The West Live. The West Live. With Jenna Clark.
Duff and Quarters.
You know who?
Chief footy writer at the West Australian, Mark Duffield, and sports editor of the Sunday Times, Glenn Quatermain. Hello, gents.
Jenna, how are you? When you said special place in hell and looked towards us, I was worried
about coming next. There's a special place in hell for you two in that bloody podcast.
Not at all, but I guess I am just so keen to hear your both of your take on this bloody football inquiry. Trevor Nisbet fronted yesterday. What's your, I mean, you guys.
The Godfather music.
Yeah.
No, 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 no.
I wonder if anyone has woken up with a horse's head in there.
Possibly Tony Butty.
Yeah. We are obviously being very flippant here. It's a very serious issue. Look, what will come of it, we'll wait and see. Oh, I think what will come of it will be there will be a change to the voting system with the West Australian Football Commission.
Sure.
Clearly that is what they're angling towards. Duff, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think there's a number of things. Look, I think they would like to see members get to vote on club boards, but I just don't think people care enough. Fremantle did this for a long time. It cost money, and no one turned up to vote. So the last time they had a member vote, it was 7% of their membership voted.
Wow.
And when they decided to take that back and replace it with a members forum, so now Fremantle has a 40-person members forum where that forum gives the club feedback on how they're performing. They had their annual members meeting last year at the Fremantle Town Hall. One person stood up basically expressing his concern that members would no longer elect board members. He couldn't get a seconder for a motion, and that meeting was packed.
Wow.
So I think people don't care. I've never had West Coast people ring me up and say, I want to vote on my board. And that was even at the height of the whole drug fiasco.
I think what's more important is that their voice can be heard.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You can do that without being on the board, on the committee.
And I think the clubs can be a lot better than that. But I think West Australian football in general can be a lot better at being more transparent. They do their business like it's secret men's business.
Mm.
And it's ridiculous. It actually hurts their brand.
Yeah.
Because often things that would be great discussion and really, you know, stimulating discussion in the public arena gets done behind closed doors in a really dysfunctional way. And this is where, you know, something like the Godfather allegation against Trevor comes from. You know, Trevor's not a gangster.
Mm.
You know, I mean, West Coast does do its business in a very corporate way.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of heavy hitters, you know, in and around the club supporters, coterie members, that sort of thing. It is the big end of town, you know.
It certainly is. You move out there, there's no one not connected to
them. And when you take them on, when you take them on, you feel like you're taking on, you know, the pointy end of St. George's Terrace.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
But it's another thing, you can't, even in the corporate world, 21 years at the helm, surely that's got to raise questions about we should maybe get some fresh blood in here.
Well, I think you can't argue with performance. Yeah. I mean, I think he was lucky to survive the drug culture.
Yeah, the mid-2000s was a very difficult period. Look, their performance off the field and on the field, they've been the most successful side in terms of reaching finals since the national competition.
Mm-hmm.
Their performance off the field in terms of the balance sheet has been AFL leading. So you can't argue with those numbers. There's always a use-by-date for everyone, and that's probably not too far away for Trevor Nisbet because he's been around for a long time in football.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the moment the Eagles are going really. You can't fault how they're going. I guess what we can fault is where the distribution of money is.
Yeah, and that's we had Sam Birmingham, who's the president of the Perth Footy League, on the show earlier this week, who made a submission to the inquiry that he's got something like 11,500 players that he looks after, and each team gets about $900. And they're doing great things like the AFLW, the integrated match where you've got people playing with an intellectual disability with other able-bodied people. It's that type of stuff that
we
should be celebrating.
We're talking about the distribution of money down to grassroots. I can tell you because I'm involved in community football this year and I've seen it firsthand. And there's a massive over-governance in the wrong area.
Mm.
They really need to get the decentralisation hasn't – the centralisation hasn't worked.
Mm-hmm.
They need to give responsibility back to clubs because 99% of people at these community clubs are there for the right reasons and the 1% are weeded out really quickly.
Yeah.
And so clubs have got – they're responsible people. They can run their own clubs. Yes, you have a governance system and they can have a look at for any major issues, but there's no reason you can't hand it back to the communities. They fund themselves.
Mm.
And the other thing is too, I think, the major challenge, I think, facing WA footy is reconnecting the waffle to the system.
It is.
Yeah.
And I think there are things that could have been done and should have been done long before now that haven't been done. And I think this is one of the major failings of the West Australian Football Commission, as opposed to the two AFL clubs. Mm-hmm. The two AFL clubs should be used as generators of money. Mm-hmm. And obviously we want them to be successful. We want both our clubs to be to have an equal chance of on-field success. And we want them to be financially viable and powerful off the field. Now, in the latest measurement, if you look at, say, memberships, West Coast is right up at the top.
Yes.
And Fremantle is in the top half just. We want Fremantle's ninth, but Fremantle's coming off four pretty barren years. We want Fremantle to be in the top six or seven.
Yep.
And we want West Coast to hold their place at the top. And we want West Coast is... See, I think this is the real issue here. West Coast is the financial leader in the AFL by the length of the Flemington Strait.
Yeah.
In fact, it may be the leader by a lap of Flemington.
Yeah.
They are so far out in front financially. Now, the question is now they would argue, well, it's great that we had $45 million in the bank because we had COVID-19 and we had that cash in reserve. But in any normal year, what is the point of an AFL club having $45 million in the bank? And particularly when the rest of the system that owns it, apart from Fremantle and Subiaco, is pretty much on the bones of its backside.
Yeah.
That is a system that's gone skew-whiff, and that is what needs addressing. But that is a commission issue. Mm. And they have allowed West Coast Power to run unfettered.
Now this
and they need to pull it back.
This reset, like if you're talking, I agree with you, with the waffle. Where the waffle sits at the moment needs a real rethink. And this reset this year... It's shaking it up.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, if people think that they don't care anymore, I was out at Lathlain Park last Saturday.
Place to be.
It was amazing. Mm-hmm. They had a Perth actually, and full credit to them, have had another bar going on the hill.
Nice.
Opposite the main members stand, they had a bar going on the hill, and there was mainly 18 to 25s there.
Was that called Zoo too?
No, it was called The Hill. No, it was actually, I was just pumping over there. I felt like walking over there, I can tell you. It was going off. But it was an amazing day, and that's the if they can bottle that spirit, it's out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've just got to re-engage with their local communities, and that's they've lost their way a bit there, and I think Perth, certainly at the weekend, you could see it on display.
And the waffle clubs, to their credit, so Swan Districts have come up with this thing called an innovations initiative, and it looks at, it's got all the other CEOs from all the other clubs on board, and they're looking at how they can reconnect with their communities, but on an individual basis. Mm. So every community is different. Claremont is different to West Perth, is different to Swan Districts.
To Perth.
It's different to Perth.
Yeah.
So they've all made a submission to this initiative, what we can do in our communities that works in our community. It's a really solid document. It's a really good start, but that is all it is. It's a start. And I think that should be a guide for the WA Football Commission. The WA Football Commission has suffered a complete trust breakdown with the waffle clubs, but it's also suffered a trust breakdown with the AFL clubs. I'll guarantee you that while we think the Football Commission has a bit of a blue and gold hue about it at the moment, i.e. it's Eagles controlled, they were not happy at all to hear about the $31 million that the WA Football Commission had and the way that money was being spent. Mm. They didn't like the centralisation, and they didn't like the feedback they were getting from waffle clubs as a result of that centralisation. So I think there's a bit to play out here, but I think it will be mainly at Football Commission level.
Yeah, well, that's a very valid point. But speaking of Perth, this weekend, can we talk about the waffle? Are they? What are we thinking? Finals drought? Could they make the big dance?
You mean Perth?
Yeah.
They certainly can. Mm-hmm. They haven't beaten West Perth in 11 years, I believe.
They haven't gotten home from the nightclub yet. What do you mean?
Actually, no, they have. I can tell you, they have, because I was there on Saturday night, and Earl Sporting, great fella Earl, the coach, he said, you can have a crack for 24 hours, boys. But then I want you back at training. They were back at training. They're switched on. It'll be interesting to see how the Hollywood of this week, because they're a pretty young group.
They are.
The Hollywood, whether it's Hollywood or whether they're going to be a serious contender. Look, I tend to think South Fremantle had a few out, and there was nothing to really gain for South. Uh-huh. I'm not taking anything away from Perth. It was an incredible effort. But I still think South's the team to beat.
And I'll tell you what it's going to be great to see. Logan McDonald.
He can play, that kid.
Nominal.
You've spoken about him so many times.
Nominal top three draft pick. We get to see him play in a final.
Yeah.
When the stakes are really high, you know, he's been a really consistent performer all year. Let's see how the kid measures up in a final. That's going to be fantastic.
Second in the Bernie Naylor medal. The kid's 18. God. I mean, it's incredible effort, and he's going really early in the draft. Mm-hmm. Let's just hope he goes at number three, and the Hawks have just happened to have that pick. But,
let's hope he doesn't play that well this week, and he slips through to about number six or seven, and Fremantle get him.
he might tank. He might. No, great kid, and O'Driscoll's the other player from that club that who probably going to get drafted this year. So it's look, it's just was great for footy last weekend.
Yeah.
With all you know, Subiaco's been a wonderful club. For a long time, and full credit to what they've achieved. There wasn't a lot of sympathy in the room for them at Lafayne Park on Saturday night.
And let's not forget that the team Perth are playing is the team that took Subiaco out,
yes,
West Perth. So yeah. You know, anyone who beats Subiaco knows they've been in a game of footy. And West Perth is not to be underestimated. And West Perth have a habit of pulling out big Septembers, and obviously in this case it might be a big October.
It's a long trip from Lafayne up to Joondalup too, I can tell you. Yeah. It's a long trip.
Especially on the train.
Well, they might have to.
Well, if they want to
party. I tell you what, it'd be quicker than the
flight.
Well,
they'll still be too drunk to drive, so they'll have to go by train.
Get the bus ready, Earl. Now, Eagles and Dockers, quick little wrap-up about their fixtures this weekend. What do we expect?
Well, the Eagles are up tonight against North Melbourne, who I don't give a snowflake's chance in hell. They have had a horrible season, horrible sort of month. Eagles really have to win. There's a lot of talk about why it's not really necessary. Finish fifth and sixth, you get the home form. Absolutely have to win just because if the planets align and they can get that top four spot, it's so important to get that top four spot. Give yourself an easier route through mm-hmm. to the grand final and another rest. So there's a bye the week after this. So I think it's about a 10-day break, Duff.
Something like that. They don't want to be resting anyone.
No.
Who's,
so there will be no one rested that doesn't need to be this weekend. And look, they just need to build themselves back. You know, but they've been going okay, the Eagles. They're just... Given their raft of injuries, I think it's been a pretty impressive effort.
Yeah.
Stay on track tonight. And as far as the Dockers go, they can make a bit of a statement, Duff, on Sunday if they get the Dogs.
So it's a wonderful chance for Fremantle. They go up against an absolute A-grade midfield. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the challenge. You've got Chera, Brayshaw, Sarong with Fife on top of that, obviously, and Mundy on top of that as well, going against Bontempelli, Lockie Hunter, Jack McRae, Tommy Liberatore. This is a talent-stacked midfield. This is the midfield that West Coast probably won't want to face in the first week of finals, the Bulldogs.
They give you a chance, the Dogs. They're handball crazy. They handball more than any other team, so they do give you a chance. So
Quarters has been on the Doggies bandwagon.
I still am. I'm clinging on.
He's holding on by the tip
I'm
of
like
his
Leonardo DiCaprio on the raft. I'm bordering on hypothermia, but I'm hanging on.
Okay, Jack.
Hey, if they mount a run, you give me some credit, Duff. If they mount a run in this final series, they've got to get there first.
Yeah, indeed.
I'll keep that credit somewhere in the cupboard. I don't think I'll need the key to get it out, I have to say.
Gentlemen, as always, highlight of my week, we can download the latest episode of the Game AFL podcast with Duff and Quarters.
Coming up today.
Look forward to it. Have a lovely weekend. We'll see you next week.
You too. Look forward to it.